You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer. Today, I am so pleased to welcome Charles Cormier, who is going to join me in a conversation about businesses that he owns, multiple businesses that he owns, how he got into his initial agency at the age of 19, and a heck of a lot of incredibly intimidating activities, at least intimidating to me, that he has been participating in his life, marathons and Ironman challenges. And I think he was even on a TV competition, if I did my research correctly. So, Charles, welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here, David.
So I want to dive into a little bit of the stuff that we were just talking about, and then we'll get into business. But you do a lot of marathons. You do Ironman. Yeah. You do this show, Dragon's Den. Tell me, how did you get into this?
I want to get into more of these things, actually. It's weird because for us ambitious folks, we never have enough, you know. And thinking about these things that were hard. For example, the Dragon's Den thing, we were the last candidates on that day to be filmed, meaning that we had to rehearse for a good 3 to 4 hours and have the stress to not knowing if it would be our turn, you know? And we took a bit too much of caffeine that day. So yeah, you can imagine the stress in the back scenes, you know? We still performed really well, me and my partner. And for all of these events, I talk often about these things, but for us ambitious folks, we may say, oh, all of that is easy, you know, but it's not easy. It's just that we constantly adapted our mindset to reach these heights, you know, and it's a struggle. It's a thing that takes a lot of time to reach. So yeah, I think these things, they just make you a better person. To me, the hardest challenge is not even these things. It's probably, you know, managing my businesses on a day-to-day. Managing humans is always the hardest things. My relationship, for example, with my close ones, it's always a constant work, you know, work in progress. So you need to be super patient. You need to you know, maintain your head high and have a really long-term view of things. Don't evaluate yourself too much or punish yourself for not performing today, you know, like view things on a monthly basis, a yearly basis. And when you do, you know, everything becomes easier. You're more patient. And then you start seeing that you slowly but surely progress as an individual. So yeah, lots of things, lots of interesting things to drop in today. You took me in a nice state. I'm in the midst of biohacking in between caffeine, CBD, and all of these beautiful compounds rushing in my brains. By the way, that's when we went on Dragon's Den, that's for the supplement company.
Uh-huh.
Quite a biohacker. So that was a new topic for the brain, probably the best of its kind in Canada. I decided to shut that one down, you know, so just another interesting story.
So, okay. There's a lot there, and I want to hone in on one area that you were talking about, because you often will see after, you know, an athlete has been successful in their career, they will have another career in training others, particularly leaders in business.
Yep.
Around mindset, around consistency, around habits, things like that. And clearly, there's a lot that you have experienced along those lines that I'm sure inform a lot of the stuff that you're doing business-wise as well.
Yep, 100%. And this is an interesting topic. You know, the trend nowadays, what's interesting is you see the other way around. You see successful entrepreneurs starting careers as athletes. And since they already have a good following on their platforms as influencers on Insta and let's say TikTok, they can get sponsors more easily. I've seen a whole lot of athletes starting ultra careers in the last couple of years, you know, ultra running. So they just have their channel and, you know, they film themselves. It's kind of boring, but you can make any good content look good. And yes, you're right. When it comes to athletes, well, they convert themselves in entrepreneurs as well. Any high paid athletes, whether it's Ronaldo, whether it's...
How would you like to become part of the More Perfect Marketing family? You can when you join our free online community, More Perfect Marketers. Inside, you'll get access to our collection of marketing cheat sheets to help you streamline your business growth, as well as the videos from David's Niche Challenge, which will teach you the counterintuitive approach to selling more by focusing on a narrower audience. To join for free, please visit mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. Now, back to the show.
Jordan, you know, Tiger Woods, you know, they all get into these businesses after most of them are somehow poor at managing a business because it's so goddamn hard. You know, there's so much competition in the business fields, and we're a lot. And, you know, it's just so hard because they expect everything to be done physically with their bodies. Some of them were gifted and it's like on autopilot, but now they need to use IQ. They need to use EQ, which most of them don't have. And yes, you see lots of that. So in my case, specifically, I want, yes, to become eventually, well, have a part of their Charles Cormier brand that will be a professional athlete, whether that's ultra, whether that's MMA, you know, which is one of my favorite sport, but not too good for the brain. We'll talk about that later if we want. But and other than that, it's just to constantly propel my mindset, right? So yeah. I've done an Ironman two weekends ago. And yeah, that one's been easier and I can already see the effects, you know, which is more patience, more control over my emotions, just being a better person. I had some kind of spiritual event happen to me during that Ironman. I was on the bike. It started raining hardcore and I released a bunch of emotions, you know, and I was a new man after that on the bike. So I'm searching for those kind of mystical experience during those events and the point that you go out of yourself and you're your best self. And so far, so good. It has served me immensely well over the last couple of years.
So I want to talk a little bit about how some of these experiences apply directly. It's clear that they can apply indirectly, but directly to, you know, some of the business work that you're in. But first, we should talk about some of the businesses that you have.
Yeah.
You mentioned one that you have discontinued with the was it a supplement?
One of the many. Yeah.
Yep. And that's the sign of a true entrepreneur. One of the many, you said. Yeah. I like that. But you have an agency, which is a lead generation agency. You're also working with businesses, solopreneurs and founders and folks in sales coaching and running mastermind and other things. Can you sort of walk us through some of the businesses that you're working on these days?
Yeah, even I cannot keep fully track of it, but that's the beauty of it. It's an art. It's an organism that keeps on growing and growing and growing. I relate things a lot to the laws of physics, you know, and I'm just a black hole and I'm attracting so many things to me with constantly reminding myself of who I am and who I want to be. But let's say, okay, let's keep it simple. I've been in the game for 10 years now as an entrepreneur. Started, you know, like selling physical stuff at a profit. That's how entrepreneurs start, by the way. They're driven by money. That's cool. Capitalism is cool. Then I had this mentor. We started the agency game together. The agency game, what I like about it is that you can test your ideas on some of your clients and get paid in the same time, you know? So that's exactly what I did. Had a Facebook ads agency. I had the LinkedIn outreach agency. I had a call center. I had a bunch of agencies, and ultimately that led me to cold email. Cold email is super scalable. It's the best ROI platform out there to generate leads. Everyone checks their emails, and there's so many thesis I could tell you on why it's the best, you know, platform of them all. But that's what I do for my clients. I can test my startup ideas with this platform. I consider it as a lab, as a platform. And with that, I can launch more ventures. My goal is to have the largest startup ecosystem in the world. Not only am I getting enlightened myself through business, which is another weird thesis of mine, getting better in all fields of my life, true business, but I'm also attracting similar minded individuals. And obviously the more my network grows, whether it's an employee or a business partner, or, you know, like a co-founder or whatever, I'm attracting more similar minded people, more power, more resources. And with that, I can have an impact on this planet Earth. Which ultimately is making more people happy, you know, putting people out of the struggle, if you want, and keep on innovating, keep on adding value to humanity. That's my ultimate goal.
So let's dive into the cold email. You talked a little bit about how it's the best in having done other things in terms of lead generation on other platforms.
Yeah.
But I'm curious if you can sort of tie that into the types of individuals that you tend to attract to that business, because you talked about, you know, you're finding people out there who have a similar worldview that you do and a perspective. How does that manifest itself, particularly around this business?
Yeah. So at the moment, I cannot attract other trials, you know, because they would charge me like $3,000 an hour. So that being a fact, I can attract the basics of someone, a basic operating system, and then I can teach that person lots of stuff. So who are the most malleable operating systems out there? Young people, right? They don't know much about business. They are fresh out of university. They've got lots of energy. They're still creative. You know, they're not robots yet. And I can start with that blank Canva and make a Picasso out of it. So that's who I attract. I'm always looking for some talented co-founders to start businesses with. These are very scarce as well. So I'm deploying more strategies to get in touch with them. And I have my podcast, for example, on this beautiful podcast with you, for example, I get to meet these folks and get to know them, see their content on their LinkedIn, follow their newsletters, and see if we can be a potential fit for whatever we'll start together. So that's the type of people I work with. Last but not least, I also attract clients I want to be like, you know? So who I want to be like, a SaaS founder, I'm working on my SaaS this year. I want to be a VC. I am a VC actually, and I'm attracting more of those as clients. We do raising as a service, as top leads. I'm attracting recruitment agency because I've been launching my recruitment agency. So, you know, it's all a system. So everything kind of feeds itself. Obviously marketing agency founders as well. And a bunch of very ambitious folks. That's who I am to work with. The best in the world, you know, because back in days I used to work with Quebec realtors. And that's like a sub niche you don't want to be in. And basically my growth was impacted as a result. That was not scalable. So I had to stop doing it. And just another defeat of mine, just another pivot, as I call them. And yeah, nowadays I get to the privilege to work with not only smart and talented people in the business, but also the best type of clients for me.
So you used the word, I think, ecosystem a moment ago, and I wonder if you can help us understand, you know, how you are connecting the dots from one business or one client or one investment opportunity to the next, and as you're sort of looking at what you currently have, are you seeing holes to fill and you're going after, you know, things that will fill those holes? Are you seeing, you know, meeting people and saying, wow, I'd really love to find a way to fit you or your vision into what I already have and figuring it out that way? How does that work?
Yeah, I think it's like you mentioned, it's like filling these holes. So I have a basic operating system, which is to start something quick and gather data. Just before I hopped on a call with you, I was telling this to my team, you know, we're taking too much time to deploy something. It's been like 3 weeks. And I was like, just deploy something and get data off the market, get some views, get some feedback off the market and see if it sticks. Because you and I, we cannot decide if it works. The market will decide, you know. So I view the market as this moving beast in which there is gold at some spots and that gold needs to be found out through numbers and data through cold email, which is the beauty of it. I can deploy a bunch of emails targeting audience variants with product variants and seeing if there's a product market fit. Then with people that I talk to, I classify them either as clients, partners, or employees, you know? So that's another basic operating software in my mind. Mm-hmm. I also don't torture myself, you know? I have these huge moonshot goals. So I'm very, very patient. That's another quality you need to have with this type of complex thinking. And it's, to be honest, it's still abstract, you know, like, and even tracking all of that, which is also something I'm working on to constantly track my progress in various areas. I'm not too rigid on that. And obviously that has pros and cons, but it's constantly moving. It's art, it's science. And I can definitely say that I'm moving in the right direction. For example, this year, I like keeping things simple also, because the human mind, you know, it forgets a lot. And yes, you can have all of these tools, but you can get lost in these tools, especially when you think that way in the Elon Musk / Richard Branson type of way. I love to ask myself these basic questions. You know, what do you want this year? Well, I want to start my incubator. Okay, what do you need for the incubator? Well, you need to manage a couple of CEOs under you this year. And by the way, I was on track of that with that goal, just that, you know, people come and go in some of my businesses. So constantly fixing those goals. Okay, what can you do so that these people are recruited? Okay, what can you do to have these people stay in your businesses and manage your business? And, you know, I get answers and answers, and I dive down to the root cause of things. And next thing I know, I have all these things manifesting themselves, which is not the right word to use. But for example, my podcast is a new thing this year. I have this mastermind that also was created that year. I have, you know, service exchange. I have 4 coaches. I am a coach myself. And, you know, for example, I generate at least 100K per year just for my personal expenses with that coaching business. So, and by the way, that came in with, okay, Charles, what do you need to make sure that your basic personal expenses are covered, that you can invest, that you can have a house, you know, basic questions. Mm-hmm. I think they call it a Socratic reasoning. Basic questions, basic answers, keep it simple. I'm going to close the door because it's raining fucking hardcore here.
Yeah, no worries. So an interesting sort of approach to what sounds like a lot of activity and a lot of, you know, potential for many moving pieces. The fact that you know, talk about simplicity as sort of being at the core of it. How is a, you know, an average, I would ask, you know, sort of how an average day looks in your life, because as I'm hearing you walk through all of the different things that are going on in your mind and in your businesses, it sounds like it could be a handful, but I'm imagining you have a team that's supporting you in a lot of these areas.
Correct. So have a head of each product, if you want, head of mastermind, head of coaching product, ahead of done for you product, ahead of rate as a service product, ahead of recruiting as a service, and so forth. I mean, I would have asked the same question. I have my podcast. I know that you're asking good questions to, and by the way, you're asking questions to find out the answer, which is the same approach we're using right here. So my day, mostly selling CEO, you know, so it's like 80% of my day is selling. My main product, if we simplify stuff, is cold email, right? It's my lab. It's what propels the ecosystem. It's my cash cow as well. So If I write cold emails on a daily basis, I'm pretty much going to do well in all areas of the business, even in my personal life, one could say, because it's just good cold emails. They're very simple, you know, they might even be one question. So it's masterful thinking. It's good. It's a good mindset that you put yourself into. But right now, it's mostly meetings with some prospects. It's also podcasts. It's team meetings, so management. So there must be at least 15% of management. And then I'm pretty much thinking the whole time, you know. So I'm taking notes by talking to people on my podcast, which you right now, I might get like at least 5 insights that I will write down, you know, and then I will have my team execute on these insights, or at least deploy a test to see if these insights are true or not, you know. So it's a constant 0-1 machine, true or false. And with that, I'm reaching potential conclusions. I'm writing down these conclusions, these experiments, and or I'm sort of remembering them, because the brain is very imperfect, but I take care of my brain a lot. I have a phenomenal memory, so that helps. And that's my day to day for work. Surprisingly, I work like 7-8 hour days, and the rest is like me training, spending time with the wife, the dog, eating some good food, relaxing, sleeping. I sleep a lot, man. I sleep like in the 2 digits, because my brain is so hyperactive that, you know, like after supper, I just shut down. I try to think of almost zero about business, and then I read a good 2-3 hours, because I fill my brain with some more information. I have more control over it, and it's in a different form. It's not in an audio form, it's like reading form. So that's my day.
It sounds like it takes a lot of discipline to be able to follow that course of action. Is that something that you've just naturally had, or that you developed over time?
Yeah, developed over time is the answer. You know, it's easy to me today if you ask, but obviously that's like 1% daily, and I've been working on myself for at least the past 10 years. You know, I've been on the self-improvement path for the past 10 years. So I've biohacked, man. I did everything. I read a shit ton of books on a yearly basis, and all of that builds my mindset, you know. So you don't necessarily need to have a mentor next to you, or even in a Zoom call. You just have to listen to the right audiobooks, you know, condition your brain constantly, and then you get better at that, because the discipline side of it, even for an Ironman, you get it becomes a routine, you know. Initially it might be scary, and every time, you know, the human brain is very good at creating fear, you know. Just like conquering Everest, for example, or these type of things, or getting to a $10 million a year business, or $100 million, or even $1 billion business. Yeah, it's a big, ambitious goal. You'll never reach it in one day, you know, but it, on the grander scale of time, 10 years, 50 years, you can reach pretty much everything you set your mind to. So you just need to be very patient and find the motivation. As you can see in myself, you know, my brain has some kind of genetic disposition to be ADHD and to be super ambitious, but also creating all of these businesses, I think it's the highest I can reach. That's one. So I'm super ambitious, and second, it entertains me, it keeps me motivated, you know. I have this big goal, and it's motivating to open my dashboard in the morning and see all of these things, you know, and the progress on all of these things. And it hasn't always been that way, you know. For example, when I was working with realtors, I just remember one day opening my laptop and being like, shit, I don't want to work, man. Even coffee couldn't stimulate me to open that computer, because yeah, I was just done with that part of the work, you know. And yeah, sometimes you need to fail hard. I failed really hard many times in business. And one quick analogy that I wanted to make sure to introduce in there, when it comes to discipline and resilience and grit. This year I've climbed Mexico's highest mountain, and I remember it was a sleepless night, and you start climbing at like 3 a.m. So, and at some point, I think it was like 6 a.m., you know, I was freaking cold. I didn't bring the right gear, you know. I didn't train for anything, and I really thought about quitting, you know. As the guy was putting my harness and all these things, you know, I was cold, I was freaking tired, I was exhausted. So like these trees, they magnify one another. And it's these moments that you grow, you know. First, you're super vulnerable, but because who would have thought that Mr. Ironman would want to quit, you know, in that situation. And second, it's coming to terms with you and being your best self, a presence that is greater than yourself, you know. And then I just said, no, I'm just going to continue and see. You know, and many times as an entrepreneur, you need to face those situations. Oh, am I closing the business, or am I just continuing just a little bit more? The expression "one more" is very trendy nowadays. That's exactly the meaning of it. It's to continue even when you want to give up, and then you see growth. You know, and then you're patient, and then 10 years later, you start to see your system pay off. So, huge journey, tough journey, but you grow out of it, and it's 100% worth it.
So, you know, we're talking very big questions, and I'm about to ask you another one. I do want to shift before we wrap up to talk a little bit about the simplicity of cold email outreach. And I want to touch on something that you share on your website, which is vision boards. But before we talk about either of these, I want to understand, you've just talked about you know, the motivation to continue going, but you also mentioned earlier the fact that you've had businesses that you have decided to shut down, and that hasn't just been once, it's been multiple times. How do you make those decisions? I mean, what is the influencing factors that will tell you, you know, go one way or another? Is it data, which is something you've talked about? Is it gut, which is something I haven't really heard you talk about in business decision making? What's influencing the direction you go?
Yeah. So first thing first, for the cold email, like keeping it simple, keep it simple in your title, less than 3 words in the email, a bit of personalization, be different, don't use capital letters, you know, and stuff like that. Be simple and don't try to look like everyone. So that's my advice. Second, for the vision board thing, yeah, it's cool. I checked my vision board today. Sometimes I don't check it for like months. And that was one product on my website that stayed there. I don't know why, but want to deploy like more products on that website, for example, affirmations and so forth. That might seem woo-woo, but it works, you know. It's good for reigniting your brain and so forth. And for experimentation, which is your last question, well, if I think in terms of cold email, let's say, I will start a campaign. I will add at least 1,000 contacts to over like a week or so, week and a half, even 2 weeks. And then I'll determine, you know, what's the percentage of people that were interested. If it's 1%, aka if I got 10 meetings or more, I can possibly conclude that it's a good campaign. And then even better, I'm gonna attach revenue to that. So I'm gonna calculate my closing rate. I'm gonna calculate how much revenue I gain from these campaigns. Let's say that 10 meetings, it's 3 meetings on 10 that will close, 30% closing rate. Well, in my case, this might mean at least, you know, like at least 15K. For one campaign that will have cost me probably 20 minutes of my time to write, my assistant that had the contact over these campaigns. And then we need to ask yourself, okay, was it worth it? It's, yeah, if I calculate that my time is like, I don't know, at least $300 or $1,000 an hour. Yeah, sure, it's 100% worth it. So we're going to do more of that. We're going to add more contacts to that campaign and scale it. So that's an experiment, for example, but it can get, it can go way more deeper than that.
So and so obviously there's a lot of data that you're using to guide the decisions on the campaigns themselves. What I was actually asking was about whether you shut down an entire business. How do you make the decision to keep going or not? And that's obviously a much bigger question than whether you're letting a campaign continue to run or not.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, that one way more complex. But I can, you know, tell you, for example, the supplement one. I had a co-founder. First, it wasn't working for him. If it's not working for him, it's not working for me, right? Because this one is way more complex. For example, the why behind the supplement business is a very long-term thesis. It's I want to be a biohacker because that increases my performance in this market right now. And also it's the future of work. It's the future of health. I want to live forever. I want to outperform people with my brain performance. And because of that, I can make more money, get more power and so forth. So I didn't want to stop that business because you are what you do on a daily basis, you know, and if I work on that business on a daily basis, if I'm a nerd about health and supplement, that will also have other impacts in my personal life and so forth. So I didn't want to shut that one down, but it was a money drainer and my partner wasn't in, you know, so, and also I didn't have much time, so I had to shut that one down. If we keep it to agencies, for example, well, the call centers was getting me into legal trouble. Period, you know, so and the talent I was attracting was mediocre. Also the guy that I was working with for that business, you know, didn't end up well. Let's just keep it on these terms. And yeah, that one was pretty obvious. It was also a cash drain, you know, so the common denominator here is it profitable? Is it generating money? Is it making me happy? The call center was stressing me out and was taking big money out of my pocket, you know. So like, I just decided to not do it. Is it profitable over the long term? Can it still be an active business in 10 to 100 years? Is it teaching you stuff and adding new skill sets to you that will add value to your whole life? For example, cold email, I get to do copywriting on a daily basis. And is it gonna help the grander scheme of things, you know? So the basic questions are cash. Then second, like, is it a long-term thing and can it also have cascading effects into your person, into your being?
Sure. So it sounds like, you know, obviously financial fulfillment, success or failure and personal enrichment or stress, you know, are going to dictate a lot of those things, which makes total sense. And it's surprising more entrepreneurs don't actually, you know, approach things with both, you know, angles. So, I want to make sure that before we wrap up, we talk a little bit about the types of businesses that you enjoy working with most, both in your coaching work as well as through your agency. Are there particular types of businesses? You talk about startups quite a bit on your websites, and other types of businesses that you specialize in or tend to gravitate toward?
Yeah, digital marketing agencies, recruitment agencies, SaaS and SaaS/startups, funded ones preferably, fintech, health tech, biotech, intratech, and so forth. All these beautiful type of startups. And I also like to work with business coaches. Some of them have nice programs going on. Some have info products and high ticket items, and they add a whole lot of value. So I work with a bunch of business coaches as well.
Awesome. Well, before we say goodbye, we probably should let folks know where they can find out a little bit more about you. Is there a good website we can learn more?
Yeah, charlescormier.com.
Excellent. charlescormier.com. We'll make sure to have a link in the show notes, but in case you don't know the French way of spelling Cormier, it's Charles, right? You do know that. Cormier, C-O-R-M-I-E-R. .com. Yeah. And I'll have a couple of other links over to your agency and to your LinkedIn profile as well.
Yeah, like Charles, Daniel Cormier, the heavyweight fighter. He put me on the map. Shout out to this Daniel Cormier.
Yeah, this has been a great conversation, a great introduction to getting into your mind. There's a lot more we haven't covered that perhaps we should in a subsequent conversation, but we're going to leave it there for now. I appreciate you hanging out with me.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Indeed, folks, this has been More Perfect Marketing. Thanks for listening. And if you know somebody who can benefit from the inspirational presentation we've just heard from Charles, please share it with them. Until next time, I'm David Baer, and this is More Perfect Marketing. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.